K-180.
Delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski. On 104.5 The Zone.
And today, live from Edley's Barbecue in Sylvan Park. Glad you're with us. Delivered by Edley's Barbecue with Paul Kuharski. I'm Jonathan Hutton. Chad Withrow will be back on the show tomorrow. Lucas Panzeka here helping us out.
Helping us out.
104.5thezone.com.
Taking up Kirby's, absorbing Kirby's nonstop talk.
That's right. The conversation has not stopped over the last hour and a half between these two. Kirby Allen Kirby making the show happen for us here. David Reed is the chairman of the board.
By the way, remember Junie, who was taking Kirby's fire last week? You were on vacation,
I think. Yeah, I missed it.
Junie serves in a Lucas promotional role, a junior role, if you will. He foolishly, I put him on air because he was consulting with Kirby on his bets, and he took three road dogs, I think. And I can't remember who they were, but I watched one of them lost. He parlayed three of them, and at least one of them lost. So Junie, and Kirby was trying to discourage him on this bet, I think.
Yeah, Kirby.
Right, Kirby? One of them was Detroit.
He's going to grab a mic.
He liked Detroit.
He took I told him to take the points against Atlanta, although I didn't like the Lions because they didn't travel well.
Kirby said Detroit is poorly organized as a road team.
Yeah.
He didn't like the, and so Chad and I were saying, yeah, they get on and off the plane very poorly. I don't
remember all three of his picks.
What were they?
I don't remember. I remember I told him to take the points against the Falcons.
So you won that.
There was another one. Did he?
All right. If we don't remember,
I don't remember the other two, but I'm curious as to how it turned out.
We're incorporating Kirby.
Well, yeah. So Kirby is he's our third host today with Chad out. He's normally the fourth host. He's got the mic. So why you have the mic? I've got it. And Reed, chime in on this too, because I wonder which is the best of the two, because we can do both here. So the first one, is the Pepsi Challenge, which is, and Claire maintains that this is way too easy of a challenge. We take six of your bottles of Pepsi, right? The frozen bottles.
Mm-hmm.
One of them will be Coke. Could you tell us which one was Coke?
The minute you open it, you can
smell
it.
The minute I open it?
The minute you open it.
So
you can smell it. It's
different.
That's
the Pepsi challenge.
There's
a cherry flavor.
Get BetMGM on the line. I will place a bet on it.
There's a cherry flavor smell, or a cherry smell to a Pepsi when you open it. Coke uses orange, and that's why it's has more bite when you take a drink out of it, and it burns a little bit more.
He's a sommelier.
That's why you can put cherry syrup in a Coke, and it tastes good to some people, but if you do that to Pepsi, it tastes like sugar.
He's a sommelier of cola.
So anyway, you've never liked Coke at all, right?
No, when I was a kid, I mean, like any kid, I'd drink whatever soda that you offered me, but Pepsi was my go-to. Well, Mountain Dew
until
I was about age 7 or 8, and then after that was Pepsi.
At 7 or 8, you declared you're a Pepsi guy.
Yeah, I was in succession. It started off as root beer number one until I was probably whatever at 4 or 5.
Right.
Frosty root beer, still best in the world. Went to that to Mountain Dew. If you could imagine me on about 4 Mountain Dews at age 8, and then I went to Pepsi.
But let me interrupt for a moment.
Go ahead.
What was your progression with cigarettes? As you
Camel non filters. I won't mention the age. It's shameful.
11.
And well, no, I was smoking by 11. I mean, just puffing on stuff. But like we would swipe a Camel for my granddad and pretend like we were cowboys.
So this is because it was your dad's.
And then my dad had Pall Mall, which were unfiltered. Like we would play. We thought we were cowboys. We were smoking around the campfire.
All right. And then,
Cool Filter Kings.
What prompted that move?
My uncle smoked them, and he was always taking naps, and so we could swipe them from him.
Uh-huh.
Sleepy guy.
They were available.
Yeah, he's a teenager.
They were available.
20 years old.
And then?
I smoked those until I started smoking Salem Lights in 1980.
Isn't that a woman's cigarette?
No. That might be Virginia Slims. It was a menthol cigarette
It's a cousin of the Virginia Slims.
I don't like cigarettes with that orange paper filter. For some reason, it just drives me. It's like I can't smoke a cigarette as weird as that is. But anyway.
This brings us to...
Hold on. I want to finish the progression.
Oh, yeah.
And then, anyway,
Salem
Lights for 40 years, and then they started jacking the price out of them like crazy, and I went back to a cigarette I was familiar with, Pall Mall, same company.
What was that like, that transition back?
No, it was almost the same cigarette, just a different wrapper, same company.
Always menthol?
Yeah, I bought, well, since I broke away from the Camels, I've been a menthol dude.
And now so, you're at Pall Mall?
Yeah, menthol.
Interesting.
Okay, so here's the second challenge, and it ties in with the cigarettes. If we gave you six menthol cigarettes, could you tell us the brand of each?
Ooh, I don't know.
Challenge?
If I took a puff off of a Cool, whether, you know, full strength, filtered King, as they were referred to, I could probably tell. I mean, I'm going to know the difference that, like, but for instance, like Salem and Pall Mall menthol.
You'll know that it's not Pall Mall.
Because it's
the same
company.
But you
don't
know it's Salem.
Right. You would know the difference between the two because they're so.
See, but what if we gave you six random.
Yeah, I'll give you a truth according to Kirby. I used to get $10. RJ Reynolds or some company would send me a carton of cigarettes that was in a white generic label with no labels on the packs, and I had to smoke them and then fill out these questionnaires. And as a result.
Smoke them if you got them.
I'd get like $25 sent to me. That would happen like four times a year.
Drink more
Ovaltine. He saved that money up and built a lean-to with it. With that savings. The yurt.
Drink more Ovaltine.
But,
I love these challenges. Please, if you have challenges for Kirby, we are at Midday 180.
No, I'm not going to be some scientific experiment.
This started with the Pepsi idea.
Right.
But I do feel like you would kind of know that pretty quickly.
As soon as I smell it, I mean, but Coke has there's a little more acidic because they use that citrus. Like when you first mouthful, you feel that tingle. That's the citrus.
I have another. I came up with another.
Yeah.
Roadkill or restaurant meat?
Look at it.
How about that?
Well, sometimes depending upon the place you're at, present location excluded. There's one in the same. Tell.
No, that'd be terrific. Who can we get to cook us up some roadkill? Herschel.
Maybe Reed.
Kirby.
I could probably cook you up.
Yeah, but then he would
Reed.
But then he would recognize his own cooking.
Here's the great thing about this, because here's how I'm pictured here. I'm a fan of either of these challenges because I think he needs to be blindfolded for both of them. So anything that puts Kirby in a blindfold. But we need to add more than just two colas to the list. We need to add at least a third or a fourth cola to the list.
Well, they've stopped making RC cola, so that's
no,
out.
They haven't.
No, they still make it.
Didn't they just stop making it?
No. It tastes kind of flat, so you might be able to pick that up.
I thought I just read an article that RC's going out of business.
Yes, in the Brentwood Times.
It's
not.
I think they're being bought out.
I'm looking this up right now. I think RC's going out.
What will the
business?
Moon pie industry do without RC Cola?
Oh, they would shut down that little crappy town I tried to take my wife to for an afternoon.
Is this like Sundrop, where Sundrop went away and then it came back?
No, Sundrop never went away. But here's the
It was tough to find, though.
No, it's still tough. So there was allegedly during this whole COVID thing a Dr. Pepper shortage. That has never existed.
What?
You cannot find Diet Sundrop in a grocery store in Davidson or Williamson County right now. I've not been able to buy cans or the bottles in over 2.5 months.
Tab. Tab is being discontinued.
That is completely different.
Tab, that's a 1973 train wreck right there.
I agree. That's a bad memory by me. I know the difference between Tab and RC. I misremember.
That and Diet Right Cola.
Diet Right.
Those were diet drinks.
I want Kirby to be a social experiment on all of this stuff. But we need a second person to cook up roadkill in order for this experiment to succeed with Kirby.
Some possum and dumplings.
See, I'm telling you, the cigarette challenge could work.
Fried raccoon.
I think these all could work. And I welcome our audience to contribute.
Financially,
more.
It's going to cost us more. What are they, like $6 a pack?
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous.
Oh,
what would it cost me to get six packs?
Well, it depends on the brand. Probably about $6 plus tax. God knows how much they're going to tax.
Totally worth it.
I'm in for it.
Totally worth it.
We won't even ask.
But here's the thing, though.
Business expense.
Once you do the expense, like, except for the kind that I like, the rest of them would go to waste because, I mean, I'm not interested in smoking cigarettes.
You can donate it to some of your smoking friends. Yeah. There's
enough smokers in this building that we could give them cigarettes.
Yeah, there you go.
Except they're not in that building.
Oh, yes, they are.
I walked around the building after the show the other day. I went to check my mailbox. I've received zero pieces of mail. Nobody's sorting the mail. I've received zero pieces of mail since March at the office. People know where not to find me.
Paul's checking it more now during the lockout than he was whenever.
That's about the same frequency.
Yeah.
The better question
once
would
every 9 months.
Where is all of the stuff that you presume would have been delivered to the station? that's been accumulating.
Where is Mark? Where's probably that at? A huge thing out back.
No, did you say you just walked in?
Yeah.
Brad Willis is there.
So tried to hide behind that mask. And
go ahead, Reed.
No, speaking of mail, I check you guys' mail every now and then just in case there's something important that you need. Apparently, Hutton is some secret closeted cigar aficionado based on the catalog.
That's the standard.
That he gets like twice a month. He's getting like the cigar catalogs to order cigars.
Well, I tell you, among important projects at the rarely occupied Cumulus building, they haven't updated the mail slots.
Well, that's something Reed can work on next.
Yeah, Reed, that's your next project. Thanks for hanging all that stuff up, by the way. It looks great in there.
So Kirby's here. He can be the third host if you want to ask Kirby. We haven't had to ask Kirby
in a long time.
615-737-1045, our number.
Ask Kirby. And I apologize to Kirby's RC Cola, which is going strong, and RIP to Tab.
Kirby says he will not be our science experiment, but he will participate in Ask Kirby.
He'll be whatever we need him to be.
615-737-1045, our number. Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
Listen to all the Titans games on the 104.5 The Zone app.
Yes, Henry, diving, scoring. Titans! Henry, over the top for six.
On your home for Titans football, 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue alongside Paul Koharski and Kirby Allen Kirby. I'm Jonathan Hutton. Kirby Allen Kirby in for Chad Withrow this hour. You can ask Kirby. I believe Rick and Ridgetop is called in. We're going to get to his call in just a moment. But first, Brad Willis joins us live at Edley's. He heard Burnt Ends and raced to Sylvan Park.
I had an 11 o'clock meeting and a 2 o'clock meeting. I got done with 11. I pull up Instagram and it says there's a Burnt Ends special at Edley's. I said, good day, everyone. I'm heading that way. So,
Paul, if we're out and about with Titans Radio and we had, and there's barbecue available, that's where we're going.
Yep.
And Burnt Ends will be ordered.
Always.
That's the requirement.
You can't go wrong, especially here. You cannot go wrong.
Not at all.
I've had it several times, and I will be having it at 1 o'clock.
Can't go wrong with the price of admission right now at the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, Brad.
It's really cool. Farm Bureau Health Plan stepped up, and throughout the month of November, if you want to come visit the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, you can do it absolutely free. Starting on Tuesday, we're open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And throughout the entire month, Farm Bureau Health Plans has stepped up and said, hey, we're looking to get people back in downtown Nashville. I mean, admittedly, it's a little bit slower than what we're used to.
Yes.
And we're wanting to get people back through the doors. And so we're excited about everything that we have set up now for the class of 2020. We want people to see it. And Farm Bureau Health Plan stepped up and said, you know what, we'll cover the cost of admission. So anybody that wants to attend starting Tuesday through the entire month of November, they can do that absolutely free.
Walk in right off the street, go check out the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, no admission.
That's right.
And if you've been, I don't know, a year or two ago, things have changed when you walk in there.
Absolutely. I mean, that's our goal, is to constantly be evolving. I mean, there will be things that you have seen before, and you're going to learn a lot about college football and the players, the coaches, and the administrators that really make up the heritage of our state. But you're also going to learn a lot about, you know, the class of 2019, which included Peyton Manning, Kippy Brown, David Cutcliffe, Carroll Lawson, lots of others. And then the class of 2020, which we just rolled out back in August, which included Jeff Fisher and Tim Corbin and so many others. So it's a great opportunity to learn a lot more about the heritage of sports in the state of Tennessee. And, you know, the price tag being free, you really can't beat that.
Paul, he was going through some of the memorabilia, because I've got a ton of it.
Yeah.
And I believe it was the Citrus Bowl helmet that you found for Peyton.
The FedEx Orange Bowl against Nebraska in his senior year.
He found it.
I covered that game.
And it's legitimately the helmet that Peyton wore.
Peyton's helmet.
They figured that out, and it's on display now.
When I took the job, it was in a cardboard box in my desk. I kid you not. I'm like, I think we've got to get this on display. We got a Super Bowl trophy from Kippy Brown. I told Kippy that ended up in the same case as Peyton's helmet, but that trophy was the Seahawks win over the Broncos.
Over the Broncos.
I kind of felt bad for Peyton putting that Lombardi trophy in there with all of his memorabilia.
So they get copies of the trophy?
They do, and that's something that I didn't realize. If you're an assistant coach or even a player, you can get a Lombardi trophy made to commemorate the victory.
That's pretty sweet.
We actually have two. We also have Jerry Reese's Lombardi Trophy in the hall. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's not often you get to see a Lombardi Trophy up close, and we have two of them that you can come take a photo with and you know, learn about.
Brad Willis with us for the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. Farm Bureau Health Plan stepping up to allow free admission for anyone that wants to go check out the Sports Hall of Fame in downtown Nashville, right there at Bridgestone Arena throughout the month of November. Word on the street is, Brad, that you guys are looking for a replica of the Midday 180 bobblehead that was unveiled earlier this week.
I mean, that would change your attendance figures.
Your thoughts on Chad's bobblehead?
Well,
since he's not here,
I never thought there'd be a scenario where I had more hair than Chad.
He would agree.
It was Austin Huff that said something to the effect of, "It looks like Chad with Rogaine," which gave me a good chuckle. Chad, listen.
He's taking it well,
but he
I don't know really, about after today.
He got no favors in the design process
because he
was against like a dark, you know, color.
Blinds.
See the forehead, but then whoever's, you know, kind of making the rendering has to say, "I guess his hair is, you know, this far forward." I don't know. I can't help but think if I were Chad, I'd feel a little bit cheated. But hey, David Reed lost a few LBs and looks like $1 million. So I think it was a really good representation of the show. Maybe for the photo, you just get a little Photoshop help and put a little lettuce up there on Winrow's head.
Well, you put some dots up there.
Now we're going to get some Photoshops of Chad with the mullet with the Kentucky waterfall.
We could have our artist, Kirby Allen Kirby, draw some hair on it for us.
Did you hear? Yeah, you probably, I don't know if you heard, we were coming up with contests for Kirby, and my idea
Pepsi idea is from Brad.
Okay, the Pepsi idea is excellent. My idea is roadkill versus restaurant. And I said, who could we have cook roadkill? And David jumped in and said, Kirby! And I said, well, yeah, he'd be our resident roadkill chef, except he would recognize his own food.
Right.
So we need a third party.
I think that's
Herschel,
great.
I think, would be the canner.
Herschel is a great great option for that. As Hutton mentioned, I brought up the Pepsi challenge.
So you think you believe he would not be able to tell the difference?
And he says he could smell it the moment we cracked open a bottle.
He says the difference is like orange versus cherry, which I think, dead serious he is. I tend to agree with to some degree. But I think if you have six bottles and only one of them is Coke, at some point your brain just starts playing tricks on you, right? Because once you taste like four of them, don't they all start to taste kind of the same?
No, the minute you put that one in your mouth and it burns and fizzes, you're like, that's Coke.
Burns and fizzes. No, well, we're going to do it first with smell. So it's not going to go in your mouth. It's going to go in your nose. And you're going
to
be
however you want to slice it up, baby.
I like
Kirby spills his Pepsi like a fine wine.
First with touch.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to touch the liquid, and it's going to absorb into your fingertips, and you're going to tell us.
The menthol cigarette challenge, I think.
And then we'll do it like Richard on the Howard Stern show. We won't talk about this publicly, but we'll do it behind the scenes.
How he can taste it.
I like that he gained the title of soda sommelier.
Yeah. Cola sommelier.
You imagine him drinking out of a wine glass, the Pepsi?
No.
He would.
Can't imagine him holding a wine glass.
He would. Brad, good to see you, man.
Great to see you guys. I'm going to enjoy some burn-ins.
Oh, absolutely. Enjoy. We are, too. We're going to have the order up at 1 o'clock on the dot.
Order up!
But first, Rick in Ridgetop joins us. Or Rick not in Ridgetop anymore. I apologize, Rick. Good to hear from you, though.
No, it's been a while, guys. But I just wanted you to know, I want Kirby to know, most of all, I was that supposed intoxicated whiskey drinker that called in to Sudden Service yesterday offering to buy Kirby a six-pack of Pepsi. I have no idea how the whiskey got in that conversation, because I'm not a whiskey drinker.
Rick called into Sudden Service and got you the Pepsi.
So that was Rick that called in from the Hendersonville area.
Yeah.
It was probably like that, chain letter or whatever, like the lady that talked to him on the phone. By the time she got out to tell the story to us that he had tried to call in and use his credit card, that he had been drinking whiskey, so he couldn't drive. And she commended him for not attempting to drive.
Rick, your thoughts?
I'm sorry?
Your thoughts on not driving? The woman at the sudden service thought you had been drinking.
But I'm not a stupid beer drinker. So once I've had three or four, no, there is no driving. My limit is probably two after I mow the lawn or something.
That's brilliant because, you know, here's the thing. If you had one and say your body weight and ratio and the alcohol, had you not been above the, you know, the legal limit.
Sure.
But you have it on your breath or in your system, and some dude blows through a four-way stop and nails you, you're drinking. And, you know, the insurance companies, it's all, I mean, can't take that risk.
Kirby Allen Kirby with us
I've got
for
to
this
ask
hour.
Kirby here from yep. Twitter. This is from Jeremy Mackey. In Jackson County, which is better, Helen's Restaurant or Faye's on the Square?
Oh, well, Faye's wasn't on the Square when I was there.
Immediate correction. Oh, did they move it?
Well, no, it was the City Cafe. And, in fact, if you watch the movie I Walk the Line, Johnny Cash can be seen walking out of the City Cafe and over to the courthouse in that movie. But Helen's is something that is up on Highway 56, I believe. And that has come about, I believe that's one of the people that I used to go to school with who started that. And I've never eaten there. But in the day, City
Cafe... Go
ahead,
make a declaration.
There was Goolsby Steakhouse, or whatever that was called, out there on the highway towards the high school, and the City Cafe, and those were about the two good places. Or, of course, Anderson Hale Drugstore for lunch at the soda fountain.
So hashtag,
very unsatisfactory.
Hashtag Ask Kirby. We did this, what, 2 or 3 years ago, Paul? That was the original...
It preceded the...
It did precede the truth
the
according to
yeah.
Kirby.
And it was fun for a while. Then people started coming in with these elementary eighth grade humor, bathroom humor jokes.
Well, no, the last time we did this, it was Ask Kirby. You could ask him how to make a drink, and we asked you how to make a whiskey sour.
Oh, right.
You said,
I forgot. I said whiskey and sour. Yeah. I forgot the grenadine.
forgot the grenadine. You're still insisting that sour is an ingredient. What is sour?
It is a sauce that is premixed that you use in a variety of drinks throughout the bar. And you usually put it together in half-gallon jugs, and it sits behind the bar, and it's called sour. I mean, my God, it's used for everything. If that's a bar over there, go ask him.
It's used for everything.
So go ask him.
I think
you're
I will.
Taking like the you're taking.
It's a mix that's put together.
It's a mix that you take a piece of tape, a masking tape, and you write sour on it and
exactly.
put it as the label.
Yeah.
And you just say that's,
but what's
that's what
in the sour? Like you would have to mix up the sour if you were the bartender.
It comes a powdered mix. You just buy it and mix it together.
This is the first time you've ever clarified this. For two years, you've let yourself look like a fool.
No, you were laughing in tears when I was trying to clarify at that moment in the performance hall.
You didn't try to clarify.
No, we were at Lady Jane's that day.
No, I think we were in the performance hall.
Hutton was getting a haircut.
Yeah, I was getting a haircut that day. A hot towel. Kirby's, oh man,
he's a big Kirby. He's a big Gimlet guy. We learned that.
Giblet,
Gimlet.
But you said Giblet.
Giblet.
Whatever
is
I
might have
said.
Turkey.
I mean, Giblet. It's been 30 years.
Gimlet is the drink.
Yeah, but you said Giblet.
It's basically a vodka tonic. Or they call it Gimlet, and you put either an olive or an onion in there.
Let's see how many followers Kirby is up to on his Instagram account.
That blows my mind.
At Kirby Allen Kirby, you are at 374 followers.
Wow.
Yeah, for a person, I've been on there once when she started and set it all up. And I gave her the photograph.
Who was it that set it up?
One of our former production assistants.
Which one?
I'm not exactly sure. Kirby, because we haven't had a production assistant in 2 years.
Yeah, I have a Ask Kirby question, if I may. While the people load up on Twitter at Midday 180, ask Kirby anything. He knows something about everything. We welcome your calls and your tweets. I would like to ask Kirby his thoughts on the end of the production assistant program that served us so well and that has funneled many young men and young women into the business.
Yeah, we don't have production assistants
who
anymore.
Who ended that? Was that a company thing?
It's a cumulus.
The world.
Cumulus degree.
This wasn't something brought on by COVID. This was no more interns, no more production assistants.
Somebody abused the process at another station is our suspicion.
Not here.
But okay, let's say so in another market within
someone
the
was
company realm,
too much.
Somebody took.
That's the stupidest
damn thing I've ever heard of. We have colleges loaded with kids that need to have some hands-on practical experience.
That's right.
And you're going to deny that to them because Joe Bob sent some kid to get his cleaning, and he spent a half an hour That's over right. 1 week or something?
Joe Bob. Have you ever overseen an intern in all of your years at the bank and in the radio industry and
Me,
any of your many
both,
industries?
Both.
I Me thought, at one time.
I thought that young man had to engineer the Joe Fisher, the Jeff Fisher show. The Joe Fisher
Joe
show.
Joe Fisher show.
That's his third cousin on his father's
come
side.
Down, huh?
On Jeff Fisher show. Out at,
no offense.
And what
Joe.
Did I tell you? What did I tell you the very first day? I'm like, don't worry about this kid. Your looks and your pipes, you're not going to be doing this for very long. Like one season maybe? Did you do it for two?
Oh, no, we engineered. I mean, I did it for longer than that, but we did it as much as...
Don't worry about this kid. You're going to...
Oh,
I told him, I'm like, oh, man, he had it. He figured it out.
He's really impressed by your looks.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, you're destined to be on a network someday.
Yeah, 10 years later, we're still midday one.
Wait for that network. Hey, one step closer. Baby steps, man.
Okay. 615-737-1045, our number. Kirby, your thoughts on the Titans' third down defensive issues?
They've got to improve quickly.
It sounds but, like every
here's
fan.
The thing. They let
you're
Casey,
right.
Here it is. They just got bit in the seat of the fans. They let Casey go. Now they can't stop anybody. So did you really gain that much by bringing Clowney in here?
I mean, no, they
should
haven't.
Have kept what
Not
they
yet,
had.
They haven't. No.
The grass isn't always greener.
But the question, though, is, Paul, is Simmons giving them the same production?
Not even
close. Or more production?
I think Simmons is spectacular. He's the best player on the defense.
But he's mentioning Casey. I'm saying, is Simmons doing that role?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's not Clowney. Because Clowney's primarily rushing off the edge.
The problem is, look, Simmons has replaced Casey. Nobody's replaced Simmons.
Right.
You know, and last year, during the good run, they had Casey and Simmons. So now they only have Simmons. But Simmons has taken on the Casey role. Here's a contest for Kirby proposed by Hair Metal Henry.
Okay.
Take six golf balls, and he has to guess what ball he hit by how far he sliced it into the woods. That's a good contest.
PJ on Twitter sends us he's on Kirby's side here. He sends us a photo of the Ocean Spray Sour Mix.
Sour?
Well, the whiskey sour.
Does it say Sour Mix?
It's a sour mix.
Yeah.
It does.
See, you left out the mix.
But no, look, when you're putting things together behind the bar, you don't stop to write the word mix on a piece of masking tape on the jar. It's just a sour. You know what it is. You're the only person back there, maybe another
person. What else do you put sour in beside a whiskey sour?
Anything that's got fruit in it, unless it requires just pineapple juice.
Anything
or
that's
just,
got so far.
Well, no, like if it were a screwdriver, you're going with orange juice. If it was something else, you'd be putting pineapple juice in it or cranberry juice. But then you have those, the drinks that you mix that have.
I want a Long Island iced tea.
No, that's five white liquors and a thing hold on. That's the five white liquors and a shot of Coca-Cola.
And no tea?
Final thing for
no
you,
tea
Kirby.
At all.
No tea in his Long Island iced tea.
There is no tea in the Long Island iced tea.
Another controversial statement, ladies and gentlemen, from Kirby Allen Kirby.
It's vodka, gin, triple sec, tequila.
Paul is getting up to go
a shot
to
of
the
Coke
bar,
for
I
color.
Believe.
Well, they may, but a true Long Island iced tea, iced tea does not have any iced tea in it.
Paul, have you made it over there yet?
I'm over here, but she's
busy
punching something in.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get this clarified.
Triple sec, vodka, gin, tequila, and rum.
We've got
we're having an interview with the Midday 180. We need a bartender desperately.
Paul is corner up at the
Excuse
bar.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Belly up. Here we go.
Could you speak to us on the radio for one moment? You ever made a Long Island iced tea?
I sure have.
How much iced tea goes in that?
Not a drop.
Whoa! What's your name?
My name is Jinx.
Jinx? Give us the ingredients of a Long Island iced tea, please.
Okay, vodka, gin, rum, tequila, triple sec, sour, splash of Coke, splash of Sprite.
Kirby, your
Kirby, you left out the Sprite.
Well, we didn't do the Sprite.
Kirby does.
But she's dead on.
That's a victory.
What
for,
goes
that's
in
a victory
what
for Kirby.
Goes in a whiskey sour, please?
Your choice of whiskey, sour mix, shaken, and pour.
Kirby, two for two. Give us a drink that you think a regular guy who claims to have bartended at gubernatorial parties should know how to make.
Kirby's nodding.
That is has a little twist, like is a little complex.
Ooh, how about a lemon drop shot?
Kirby, make us a lemon drop shot.
There were nobody drinking lemon drop like, shots.
Give us something more like a cocktail. A complex cocktail.
Okay. How about an old fashioned?
An old fashioned,
oh,
Kirby.
Oh, yeah. Sugar cube.
Sugar cube.
Whiskey. It's been like 35 years. Okay, hold on. Whiskey. Okay, you got sugar cube, whiskey. I don't know.
He doesn't know.
You put a slice of lemon on the side of the glass.
An orange.
Fail.
Orange.
Fail.
Paul had to keep going until you failed.
Manhattans. Yeah. I mean, I don't have my cheat card anymore.
You did win on the Long Island iced tea, which was really pulling one out of your behind.
I've drank enough of them.
Kirby, thank you as always for the work you do.
This is a lot of fun.
Whenever you're the third host and the fourth host mainly, whenever sure. Chad's here, but the third host, as you sit in Chad's spot, Chad can't wait to get back to his spot tomorrow.
He has to reclaim this mic. I thought about something.
He has to reclaim it.
On my way out, I got to say this. The perfect pedestal for the
bobblehead?
The bobblehead thing
yeah.
would be a bobblehead of me holding you up on my shoulders, carrying you guys around town.
Here's the thing. If we put that in the studio, someone would abuse it, break it, smash it.
Oh, yeah.
Steal it.
We need a bobblehead of Kirby where he's pointing at a light switch that's off, and we're telling him, turn it on.
Yeah, Kirby, this was not your best work.
No, it's always great.
Not your best work is entertaining. Now go sit over there.
Kirby is putting the microphone down.
Yeah.
Coming up,
you did a good job having it on for Godfrey earlier.
We're discussing a lot about Tannehill and Henry. We need to discuss another Titan that isn't getting the same national recognition yet, but is going to. Uh-huh. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
The Panthers and Falcons. Kickoff is tonight at 7:15 on your home for Sunday, Monday, and Thursday night football. 104.5 The Zone.
Paul, you've seen these guys live, right?
I have, and they were not the best. But I love Steve Gorman. And I told him.
I'm stunned that they're not good live when you told me that. I love the Black Crow.
I do, too. And listen, I've not had good experience with 2 out of 3 Crows live. Sheryl Crow, good live. Counting Crows, also terrible live.
Really?
And Black Crows, terrible live. And I love live shows at the Ryman. Counting Crows, really disappointed. I love the Counting Crows. Black Crows, I saw at Starwood. Chris Robinson was off stage in like 5 minutes while they jammed for like 20 minutes on a cover song that I didn't know.
Well, you don't like the jam band aspect of anything, right?
I hate the jam band aspect. Don't play anything that's a 7-minute song for 20 minutes. I don't need the extra 13.
If they're going to play for 3 hours, if they're playing for an hour and a half.
They ain't playing 3 hours.
Well, I'm saying if they're playing for an hour and a half, they're not going to play all their hits because they're too busy jamming 20 minutes to one song. Then I understand
what
you're saying.
I'm okay with freedom of song selection.
Sure.
Like, I always believe if you're out promoting a new album, I should expect you to play the new album, a lot of the new album. That's what I signed up for by buying a ticket. I expect you to play, you know, some of the hits, too. But I need you at the microphone, Chief. Like, I need to see you on stage.
I think I've seen Counting Crows live maybe at River Stages.
By the way, the brothers have made up. And they are now, before COVID, touring, and they're playing.
The Robinson Brothers?
Yes. And they're playing the first album, start to finish, as the key to the concert. Then they're stacking on top of that. I'd go see that in a second. And they're scheduled, by the way, it's sold out. It's rescheduled now to play Ascend. I'd go see that in a second. I'd give them a second chance on that one. Steve Gorman, if you're listening, hook us up.
The Titan star no one's talking about, and I say no one, I'm saying from a national perspective, it's not top of mind yet. It's A.J. Brown. Locally,
missing several games takes you out of it statistically, so you're not amongst the league leaders. then DJ Metcalf, who's your buddy, is making highlight reel plays,
well,
defending.
But it's not this year. I'm talking the consistency since he's jumped in. His first touchdown was week four last year against Atlanta. Since the start of last season, A.J. Brown is averaging
score against Cleveland?
Last year.
In the opener?
I don't think so. I thought his first two touchdown catches came against Atlanta in the first half.
I thought he scored in the fourth quarter against Cleveland. Maybe it was just a long game.
I may be wrong on that. So he's averaging yards after the catch, 8.1 yards after the catch. That's fourth in the league. 77% of his catches have gone for a touchdown or a first down since he entered the league.
Well, touchdown is a first down. So,
well,
right, it counts.
Right. That's a minimum of 50 catches that we're basing that on. He has five receptions that have gone for a touchdown of 50 or more yards. That leads the NFL. He averages 18.4 yards per catch. That's fourth best in the league since last year. And 8.1 yards after catch among wide receivers that debuted since 1990 in their first 20 games. That leads everyone.
He's a terrific player, and beyond those productive numbers that you're sharing, he's been a big part of the culture change. He's not satisfied with things. He also brings a personality that I think is really key to what's going on there. He's got the work and the drive, but he's also kind of lighthearted about the whole thing. He's a smiler, right? I think he likes the job, and he's driven, but he also has a lot of fun. He's a fun guy.
I'm trying to...
And it's supposed to be a fun game, right? It's not supposed to be... it's a grind, but it's not supposed to be this painful grind that it is for some guys.
You'll tell me if I'm overvaluing this or not, but the touchdown grab that he had this past week, that I mentioned on Monday, where he just it's very nonchalant, effortless, but it is a skill that either I think you have or you don't in the league. The ability to look out... He's running left to right across the field. And the ability to look out of his left eye, you can see his head turn and see where the hit is going to be coming from. And then by the time he turns back, the ball is on him. And he makes the catch in stride and turns upfield for the touchdown. Like the anticipation level, but also the hand-eye coordination on a route where he's running free. He's uncovered. Tannehill puts it right on the mark. But the ability to then look ahead, go ahead and gauge where he is on the field to where the defender is to where to make his move once he has the ball on him.
Yeah.
While his hands are up.
Well, guys peak like that, and then they drop the ball.
Right.
Or they don't peak, and they get blown up when they catch it. And so to have somebody that, however he does it, gets the lay of the land, makes the catch, and understands the geography and the placement of the defenders.
There's a nuance to it,
and it's not that big what he has to do to break free, but it's significant, and he's got that figured out. His ability to run after the catch, you know, we've talked run after the catch in years prior. You're talking about gaining maybe an extra first down. You know, if you got 10 yards after the catch, it's a bonus first down.
Right.
That's his average.
That's his average.
You know, so that's roughly an additional first down. But when he's taking it to the house like he did there, that's an energizing play that can be a game-swinging play. It's been a game-swinging play a lot of times. It had a chance to be a game-swinging play in that game. Unfortunately, it wasn't quite that for the Titans. But the guy's an extraordinary player. At a position where they've been desperate for that guy for a long time, which makes him appear, at least locally, to those of us that have followed this team for a long time, maybe even bigger than he is.
Right.
Whereas nationally, he doesn't appear as big as he is yet.
He keeps that up, though. He's about to blow up nationally.
Yeah. Unfortunately, again, we talked about this, the incomplete season for him, the incomplete season for Corey Davis. Their numbers at the end
are
not going to be a 16-game season worth of numbers, and that's how some people are going to look at it. They look at league leaders in receptions, in yardage, in touchdowns, and he's not going to be where guys who played 16 16 games are, who are the best other best receivers in the league.
Tomorrow, Friday edition, we get you ready for the weekend with John McClain. Dean Pease will be on the show to scout Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Also, the VolQuest Hour with Brent Hubbs and Austin Price. And you mentioned energy. Great energy today here at Edley's Barbecue, Sylvan Park. Really appreciate Will and Catherine Newman for having us out. Mark Harvey for always getting here early and staying with us throughout the show, making sure we're good to go. Kirby Allen, Kirby, Lucas Panzica, David Reed, the chairman of the board. It is time for some brisket burnt ends here at Edley's.
Let's eat. Let's not lock the box. Let's lock the lock.
Coming up this afternoon with Blaine and Mickey.
The Titans talk continues. Wide receiver Adam Humphries joins us. Plus, we visit with Spiro Dedis, who will be calling the Titans game for CBS on Sunday.
This afternoon from 1 to 3 on 104.5 The Zone.